All right, hello and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberburst podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David. Welcome to our post-Christmas, post-New Year's first episode officially of 2026, although there was an episode last week of something we recorded closer to Christmas, or closer to Halloween.
Close to Halloween, yes.
Yes, Something Wicked This Way Comes.
That's right.
Which one of us saw it? Was it you that saw it first? I forget.
I think I saw it first. Okay. I mean, unless you saw it in like the 80s.
No, that was part of the thing. I never saw it.
I'd
heard of the story. I didn't know it was a movie.
Okay. Yes.
So we released that last week. Oh, and note that I didn't stick in there. The music I stuck at the beginning was by Chad Pfeiffer from the HB Podcraft. Like, I just stuck... I needed some music for the beginning. It's like, oh, this will do.
Okay.
What about zombies?
I have regrets now that when we did that Dracula cartoon for Patreon, I did not offer up Tame Impala's Dracula, which every time it comes on the radio now, I'm like, I should have given him that song.
I can't remember. What did we do? Was it Bullet with Butterfly Wings?
I don't even remember.
That's a good one.
Because the world is a vampire.
Yes.
maybe Blue Oyster Cult's Nosferatu.
Or my first thought right now is Gorillaz. There's one song where he says Dracula.
That's a good one.
I think that's the only word in the song.
Outcast's Dracula's Wedding.
I don't know. There's so many possible choices. We'll do another Dracula movie at some point and use all of them.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah, not enough songs about werewolves, though.
Should be more songs about werewolves.
Well, because there's one really good one, so nobody else tries.
There's Wolf Like Me by TV on the Radio, which is a favorite of mine.
And of course, by the one good one, David, I assume you mean Tracy Jordan's Werewolf Bar Mitzvah.
Well, I was thinking, what's the Toto song called?
Werewolf.
Rains.
Oh, I think Werewolves of London?
No, the
that's not
the
Toto.
Rains in Africa. Bless the Rains in Africa, that song.
Yes.
Oh, no, is there an anti-vampire? There was some joke about that song that was like anti-vampire werewolf or something.
I mean he's hearing Wild Dogs Crowd in the Night.
Yeah. That is Dracula-coded, or possibly werewolf-coded.
Yeah, they could go you. Anyway.
See, every night when we get settled in to record, we're like, this shouldn't take too long. And
no. It has been, we haven't recorded in almost a month at this point, and there's been many things. Because of VTubers, I have finally seen It's a Wonderful Life. After my entire lifetime, I've seen... It was on TV so much when I was a kid, but I never saw the whole thing. I would catch like 5 minutes walking through the living room, and it's like, fuck this movie.
It's a good movie.
And then I finally saw the whole thing. It's like, I get why people like it. I still have issues with it, mostly that it's so freaking long.
I mean, that's just the way movies were back then.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, the part everyone remembers is, like, the last 20 minutes of the movie.
That is crazy. That is, like, the part everyone remembers about it, but there's so much more movie before then.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's too much.
But they gotta set up everything else.
You want the moon? I'll throw up a rope and I'll pull it down for you. Mm.
There was a time when you could just have a pet raven.
Yes, like...
It's true.
The problem is, like, the movie setting up the end of the movie, that's the part everyone remembers, is a fine movie, but they're two distinctly different movies stuck together. We're one movie and one Twilight Zone episode.
Anyway...
But now I get the context for Pleasantville.
Yes. Now you get the context for a great many things.
Or Pottersville.
Pottersville. Yes, Pleasantville is another movie that's actually pretty decent, although I haven't seen it since the Clinton administration.
I think I saw it. I don't remember. Oh, another side thing that actually happened over a year ago, but I just noticed now, although Jen might have noticed, Lensman is out.
Yes.
Kind of. Like, it's not officially out. It will never officially out, but the old anime of Lensman has now been fully subbed, and I found it, and I have it, and I'm going to watch it this year.
Yes.
So this
and possibly force other people to watch it.
Yeah, possible future episode.
Yes, I would be up for that.
Well, the movie, at least. We should do the movie.
Yeah, I could pull out my VHS tape of the movie, or you could go to YouTube and watch other people's rips of their VHS tapes of the movie.
I think I have the VHS on the... Like, it should be. I know I had it. I'm not sure where it is.
When I originally purged my VHS collection in 2017, I did keep that and a few other things that seemed unlikely to have better releases ever, such as Clash of the Bionoids, which is just an omni-dub of Macross Do You Remember Love.
Yeah, that's never happening again.
Well,
Robotech, who knows?
Anyway. Wipeout!
Yes.
Oh man, I feel like I'm back at the skating rink. I feel like it's 1986 and I'm back at the skating rink.
That's right, because for today's first Cyberverse episode is Wiped Out, as our himbo trio go sky surfing.
Oh my god, they're so dumb.
They become a real sky surfer strike force.
Wipeout, shark emoji.
Yes.
Yes.
Makes sense.
So it's the emoji spoils the episode, well I guess most of them do, but...
I mean, it could have been Skybite showing up.
It could have been...
It was not, but it could have been Skybite.
I know this is written by Benjamin Townsend, his first and only Transformers episode.
Huh. Interesting.
He's done a ton of animation, a bunch of Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated episodes, including what I believe the one where they fight a zombie ska band.
Oh my god, right? That sounds amazing.
I
really should watch that series.
I apparently saw less episodes of that show than I remember. I mean, I know, but I thought I saw most of it, but I guess not.
One of his earliest credits is working for he wrote a couple episodes of Evolution, the animated series.
Oh man!
Oh
wow! The animated series based on the movie starring David Duchovny.
Yeah. Right, David Duchovny. Why Won't You Love Me?
I forget if I even saw that series. I think I saw the movie, but. I wouldn't swear to it.
It's like a weird shape-shifting alien fungus or something, and they defeat it with shampoo.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore is also in it.
It was in that late 90s period where any weird, possibly kind of funny aliens movie was going to get a green light.
It was very much like, okay, so Bill Murray has not agreed to do a new Ghostbusters movie. Why don't we just kind of like file all the numbers off and sort of do a Ghostbusters movie with David Duchovny?
Yes. Just make it about aliens.
Yes. I mean, you know, he's Duchovny. He's done a lot of alien stuff. He knows all about that.
Yeah. People associate him with aliens.
Anyway, so Hot Rod and Bumblebee, they're on window washing duty.
So this is firmly in the realm of Transformers not needing any kind of, like, climate control.
This episode and the next are very much, we're kind of doing G1 Season 3.
Yeah, it is very...
Yes?
Yeah, very G1 Season 3 vibes, which is great.
But it's also very...
Because we're still in Season 2, because Season 2 ended and then kept going. For some reason.
Yeah.
Just kept going, and then it won't really finish until Season 3.
Yes.
Yeah. But these two episodes are very much, the yellow boys have fun.
Yes.
Yes.
They're so dumb. They're the dumbest boys.
And after the start of this episode, I expected the Vindo Viper is coming, but we don't get that.
No.
No, so they're a bunch of rocks, so they're going to have to scout out a safer route. And they're going to do so on their space boogie boards.
Yes, we have a moment where Hot Rod asks Bumblebee if he knows what he's thinking. And Bumblebee's like, yeah. And Cheetor is like, I do not know what you are thinking.
Because there's a bunch of asteroids, and there's a solar wind, and they can surf on... Surfboards on the solar wind, and oh my god, this is the most Rodimus sport ever.
Yeah.
It very much makes me think of that bit, The Ultimate Doom, where all the Autobots are surfing.
Yeah, Yeah, there's that. There's also the Spotlight Hot Rod where he was like,
yes,
asteroid surfing,
like orbital reentry. And it's
yes,
like, screw it, I'm gonna surf my way down.
Yes.
And of course, you know, we can all talk in space, breathe in space, etc.
It's fine.
Well, they're robots that can communicate.
Yeah, I know.
That has nothing to do with anything.
I mean, I would think I do that, like, being completely unshielded from all of the kinds of weird energies and particles going around in space, eventually you're probably going to have some problems. So maybe it's just like how you can go and hang out in the sunlight for brief periods, but after a while you get burned.
I like the animation of them surfing through the asteroids and the solar winds. It's fun, it's playful. And Cheetor can't get the hang of it until he decides to hang 18.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, his kitty alt mode is great at surfing.
Yes. He's
which,
can't he?
Cats are good at surfing.
He has to be good at surfing somehow. He's a dumb boy, and all the dumb boys are good at space surfing. So he just had to find his particular niche for space surfing.
I mean, maybe in another universe, he learned it from Optimus Primal.
Yeah, who notably did get a surfboard.
He was a surfing gorilla.
He was. So weird.
It was hilarious and ridiculous.
Yes.
Speaking of hilarious and ridiculous, space jigsaw puzzles. Asteroid jigsaw.
I don't know if it was more or less ridiculous than a rollerblading Tyrannosaurus, but they were both pretty ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, they find that this, there seems to be like the remains of like a building here, like a temple, hopefully not the bone temple.
The image of like a temple floating in space was so common on like album covers for a while in the 80s.
Bone temple.
I was kind of thinking of Thanos' hideout from like the first Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is weird and neat that they're accidentally doing space archaeology by rebuilding a temple out of rubble.
Also, notably,
and surprisingly, it's complete.
Some of these statue pieces look kind of like shark heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So indeed, there is they're wiped out by a big solar wave. And we cut to Cheetor, who is now in the custody of the Sharkticons.
Dun dun dun.
And most of these Sharkticons are sort of the like familiar, like Transformers the movie Sharkticons.
Mm-hmm.
Your defaults.
The round chubby boys. The round boys.
Yeah, they're led by like a pointier. He's kind of like if you crossed a Sharkticon with like a street shark.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a good way to put it.
And his name isn't Underbite, but he has an underbite.
Yeah, this is Jawsy.
It does. It reminds me of the whole conceit from Transformers the movie that kind of bled over a little bit into season 3, where just for some reason the rest of the galaxy is also populated by transforming robots.
Uh huh.
For reasons. I mean, we don't actually see these transform, but they are clearly robotic creatures, so.
Yes. So these are the Finns, and they rule this this area.
This very small chunk of concrete.
This chunk of concrete.
Floating in space.
Yes, their world was destroyed, but apparently they did not actually need any kind of atmospheric protection, so they're fine.
Mm-hmm. So, but they're going to a bigger chunk, and they're going to take Cheetor with them, and they're going to fight the rival gang, the Tails.
Yes.
Which, it reminded me of so many things all at once, because, oh, there's sharks that aren't jets fighting
it's
fins
sharks
and tails.
That are in a gang.
Gang, yes. Yeah.
No one sings, though, which I don't know if I'm relieved or disappointed.
They're not even snapping their fingers.
Can they snap to their fingers? They don't have thumbs, do they?
This is
the
a good
sharks
question.
Are gonna have the way tonight. This series just keeps giving me opportunities to sing show tunes.
Yeah, it's very nice of it. very considerate.
Apparently, this this planet used to be ruled by Lord Gnaw, who was like a cool saw shark.
Yes.
Yeah, he had a big pointy nose thing. Yeah.
Like, who's that guy from Beast Wars? Neo? Is this Sasha?
Oh.
Yeah, the one who's the Cyber Shark repaint. I do not remember his name. Or retool. Yeah, yes. I don't remember his name, but I can picture him clearly.
So the tails are ruled by Backbite, and they find them there. Backbite is, and likewise, it's another bunch of like regular Sharktacons led by like a big
street
dude. He's got a big grin like that one dude from that like Russian Treasure Island cartoon. But the tails, their own guy, Bumblebee.
What? Dun dun dun.
Who has had the time to be covered in graffiti.
Yes, and then at this point,
his gang sucks.
Third faction, the Snouts come in. Snouts are led by Sawtooth, another one of these guys. And of course,
Snouts feels like a weird third choice. Like fins and tails, yes, but Snouts?
Well, what else would be a third choice?
I mean,
Jaws,
they could,
teeth?
I mean, if you're the Jaws, you're going to get sued by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, even in space. Skins? Space cannot save you.
I would also recommend they not be the Claspers.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Yeah, we don't mess around with those guys.
No, no. They're weird.
Yeah. So anyway, Cheetor is just eventually like, come on, guys, cut it out. Listen, we sharks together strong. And then the sharks are like, hey,
yeah. Hot Rod does have a moment where he's like, Hot Rod is, like, entirely on board with this whole thing. He's like, no, you guys gotta leave. This is our territory. And they're like, Hot Rod, you're not a Sharktacon.
So one of the Sharktacons shouts, like, are you colorblind, Cheetor, when he's saying they're all the same? Because
yes.
They each have their own color-coordinated tattoo graffiti on them.
It's very much like that episode of Star Trek when they're all, well, you know, are you, what, we're not the same. That guy's black on the right side. I'm black on the left side.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that is still one of the dumbest ideas for representing racism, but ultimately the perfect one. Yeah.
And one of those guys just showed up on Starfleet Academy.
Oh.
This past week, yeah.
Neat.
Like, not one of the same characters, but like somebody of the same species.
Same species. I gotta watch that show.
It's good. It's got
despite some reservations. Reservations in that I don't really want to watch Paramount, but
it's got Paul Giamatti.
There are workarounds, David.
I know. Also, I did sign up for it quite a while ago. I just haven't canceled the fucking thing. But yes, I might.
He's half Klingon, half space pig man.
Yeah, I've heard that Paul Giamatti is pretty great in it.
Anyway,
He's name something with Paul Giamatti that isn't good. Paul Giamatti.
It's true. He's great in everything.
Can't do that. Even if he's actually the worst thing I can name him in was the Planet of the Apes movie.
I mean, it's not good, but he's pretty good at it.
Right, because he's going over the top. It's like, no, yes, I have to be an ape man. Do not, I am going to be in the makeup, you bastards.
So anyway, the Sharktacons do agree that they will unite to kill the Autobots. So they flee. They get back to the Ark. Cheetor unleashes the power of the Allspark to fix the Sharktacon homeworld mostly.
He managed to collect a bunch of the rubble, not the entirety, but enough to make a, like, satellite.
He gets it. He pulls it back together, just not very well.
Well, no, but it's
but
there.
Good enough. Apparently, all of the Shark people are perfectly fine with this. It's good enough for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is a weird ending, like, they were flying back, and then they ended up at the Ark. I was like, okay, that's not where I was expecting them to go. I was expecting them to fly back to the temple they reassembled. It's like, here, guys, here's some more shit you can hang out at. It's bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he assembles, like,
the whole planet.
A moon out of rubble. Which is, it's a nice ending. The Sharktacons have a place to live now, all, like, 30 of them.
Alright, so that's a job well done. And
good job, Cheetor.
Now we're on to the next episode.
This town is doing like a ghost town.
That's right. This is episode 16 of season 2, written by Gavin Hynight. Last seen in these parts. Writing Parlay. The one where they kind of tried to negotiate.
Kind of tried to negotiate. That had some fun character stuff. I mean, I will say, as we will get to in this episode shortly, this does seem like someone who has read the story Bible.
Yes, this is very much, we're pulling stuff out of the story Bible.
Which is kind of how Parlay went.
Yes. So we're, Cheetor and Pablo, they're hanging out. Cheetor's like, you know, sometimes I just miss living in a cave by myself.
Same, Cheetor.
I said, Cybertron's great. Stuff is there.
He says there are lots of great caverns on Cybertron.
Yeah, talk to Windblade. She's not from there originally, but she loved it. And then she just kind of walks by as, like, zombie-like.
Ignoring them.
And also she's stolen the Allspark, and then she just fights them and then just blasts out of there.
She doesn't have time for dumb boy stuff.
No. She has a mysterious mission to take care of. Meanwhile, Teletran X is kind of trying to pull like a Clarice Starling with Starscream, and it's not going anywhere.
No.
Yeah, Starscream's whinging and the computer's acting like his shrink.
Yes.
Which is kind of interesting.
Up to the point of saying that their session is over and he'll have to hold on to that thought until next time.
Yes. Tell me about the lambs.
That's a B plot.
Maybe Teletran X is just bored and is like, I'm going to see if I can help Starscream.
Basically, like, it's a B plot that feels like if this was a normal length episode, would be stretched out, or they could have used it to show flashbacks of Starscream doing stuff. It's like, it
just kind of comes back at the end.
Yeah. Okay, it does. Good. Because it feels like a really cool idea that is basically two scenes. And then gone. Anyway, they fly to a haunted planet.
Yep, it's got a bunch of like weird red forests on it.
I like the design of this planet. Like,
it does have a nice...
It's nice that they're going someplace weird.
Yeah.
And different.
It's got like...
Mm-hmm. It's not Earth, it's not Cybertron, it's just...
All alien. The buildings are kind of dingy white, and then all the foliage is red, and it's very aesthetic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Optimus Prime decides to send, once again, the Himbo Squad.
Why? I mean, yes. I realize it's because they seem to be the designated main characters now, but also, stop trusting them with so many things. They're idiots.
Yeah. These are the toys we're selling this year, boys.
It is so weird how well that trio works together, despite being almost exactly the same character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just enough variety, or at least we have enough association with them from other media that, like, we can put something else on them, even though this Cheetor is nothing like the previous Cheetor.
I mean, you kind of get the feeling, I mean, obviously Hot Rod is the oldest of the group, and... Bumblebee is a little younger, and then Cheetor is a big hippie.
Yeah, he's the wise hippie, bro. It's like he's the stoner of the group.
And indeed, his wise stoner powers briefly let him tell that there's some sort of ancient force that is controlling Windblade as they encounter her on the planet as she's trying to, like, get underground.
Like, they just find her in a street digging a hole.
Yep. But then eventually she does get into, like, this, like, into a building and sort of goes into these caverns. And meanwhile, once again, Starscream is Hannibal Lectering. And this is basically where he tricks Teletran into putting him in, like, that cell at the art museum or whatever's going on at the end of that movie.
Yes.
Well, he extends the stale, the show, a level of trust, and Starscream's like, could you extend a little bit
Starscream
more?
Yeah, Starscream looks
so I can
and...
Get to the, so I could do a Die Hard in space.
Yes, Starscream notices that now the energy wall of his cell is almost to an access hatch, and he's like, could you trust me, like, 4% more? And that... he's like, sure, and that moves it to where now the access... point is in his cell. So good job.
Which
good
is,
job.
I mean, that's a neat idea, but it's hilarious when you think about how big that duct has to be for not only a Transformer to fit, but a Transformer with Starscream's giant wings to fit in an air duct that it doesn't need.
Ed will come out to the Ark, have a few laughs.
Oh, Wheeljack's probably always crawling around in those.
This is true.
I guess, in the whatever they call their equivalent of Jeffrey's tubes, but...
Anyway, so they're trying to sneak around enough to win by, but they trigger some sort of, like, ancient booby trap out of the mummy. And so everybody else is trapped. Cheetor has to be the one who follows Windblade. They're briefly delayed, but they get in there. And then she uses the Allspark to sort of reactivate this city, which turns out to be a guy who is alive. Because, as you recall, she is a city speaker.
As was noted.
Which, has that come up in this series? I mean, we know she is.
They mentioned it, like, once in the first season.
In the first season, it was given as the reason why she was the best option to go into Bumblebee's head like that.
Okay.
Because being a city speaker gave her that kind of, like, psychic skill. So it has come up, but not as far as actually going and talking to Titans.
Mm. And indeed, this is a Titan, and David, I believe you're going to be of particular interest in this one.
Kinda, but no.
Because this giant lost city is named Croaton.
I mean, there's other annoying, what would it be, a paranormal, but like, weird myth things that turn out to be really simple answers.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's a thing. Croatone from the Lost Colony. What was the name?
Oh, was that a... That was... It wasn't Roanoke. Was it
Roanoke? Roanoke, yes. It was... Croatone was carved into a tree, which was basically simple things like, go down the Croatone River, that's where we moved to. Because we've been left alone for like 2 fucking years, so we decided to integrate to the local tribes that we were already friends with. And everybody has turned that into a giant mystery.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, wow, I wonder what happened to these people.
Yes, follow the
Also, I was confused there for a moment because Roanoke is also like an actual city in Virginia that's further inland. But.
Yeah.
And also, I wonder why the local tribe has all those like blue-eyed blonde people.
Yeah.
Why are there all these Europeans in that tribe?
Well, also, like, there's even, like, other evidence, like, they had blacksmithing that they didn't previously have. Like, there's evidence there. It's a really simple answer.
No, it's a mystery. It's a mystery, and we don't know.
It's one of those many things that, like, I'd seen on, like, In Search Of as a kid or whatever. And, like, so many of them are like, oh, the answer is, like, really simple. Like, there is no fucking Loch Ness Monster. People are idiots.
What? But Nessie.
I know. It's a wonderful sea serpent myth, but there are so many things against anything large living in that lake. Let alone not being noticeable. People are just gullible. Pareidolia is the answer to so many questions.
Yeah. Like, listen, is that a sea monster or is it just like a weird looking log? Well, sea monster, obviously.
I do like when the big, like, he transforms just a little bit and the giant head comes up and is just face. Like, hi.
Yes. Yeah. He's a really good aesthetic.
And he doesn't say hi, but it feels very hi.
Hey guys, what's up?
The choice of name is like, it ain't great, but Croaton actually does kind of sound like a good name for a Titan.
Yeah.
It's not like the first time we've seen pseudoscience in our Transformers. Like, aren't there a bunch of, like, fake sunken cities that the colony ships were named after in Cybertron?
Yes. Okay, having, like, Mu and Lemuria is dumber?
Yes.
But I'm more amused by them because they're utter nonsense.
Lemuria, which I will note, is what is named after lemurs.
That's where lemurs come from.
Lemuria, like, it was entirely an explanation to explain why the fucking lemurs exist.
Yes.
Like, why are these weird monkey things here? Lemuria? Question mark.
Why are these monkeys? Well, they must come from Monkey Land.
Yes.
It's like the whole Arctic Antarctic thing.
Hmm. Bears. Or bears, no bears.
It's a good way to remember which is which.
Yeah.
So he gives an explanation that, you know, I was sent here, I colonized it, but then we were attacked by an unknown force, which from the design of the ship here, we can see it was those dastardly Quintessons.
Yeah, it's a weird black pointy shape. The flashback style is kind of neat and simple and weird.
I thought that was cool. It kind of looks like pictograms.
Yeah, it's a very, like, archaic kind of style. It's neat.
It feels like it was trying to be, okay, we want some kind of primitive tribal art without specifically being primitive tribal art. We just want, like, simplified.
Yes, without being anyone in particular's primitive tribal art.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they abducted all my citizens, and they set me on fire. So now I'm here. Mm. But now I've got enough power. So I'm going to blast off and look for my missing people. Mm. So he does, and along the way he just, like, smacks into Starscream, who has escaped into space.
Starscream just escapes, and then this giant titan comes by and he gets face-planted into it and hangs on. Like, okay, I kind of like that hilarious ending for Starscream for presumably this season.
And there he goes.
That is a wrap on him for this season and until well into the middle of next season.
Okay, because I was going to assume, like, Croatan feels like, oh, we're going to see him again later. It may be a long time, but...
Mm-hmm.
Like, as you mentioned, story Bible, it's like, he's got to show up so he can show up later. This episode was Ghost Town, ghost emoji.
Of course.
Yes, it had a ghost emoji. I mean, I guess it could have had a town emoji, but the ghost emoji is better.
Yeah, like...
Yes.
This episode could have been more ghosty, like them wandering around the deserted city, like there could have been more weird things before.
Or maybe they found, like, some spooky holograms, like on that Cosmic Rust episode of G1.
Yeah.
There could have been some random unexplained zombies, like in some other Transformers media that I will leave unnamed.
Or, like, they see a weird animal wandering in the city zombies? And they think it's a person, but it's like, oh, it's just an... antelope with giant robot-shaped antlers or something.
You could stop to explain the zombies, but no, we're not doing that.
No.
But no, this episode moves really quickly, almost too quickly. It's like...
Yes, I mean, that's kind of the problem with this.
Windblade takes the Allspark, and Windblade delivers the Allspark. That's pretty much the episode.
And that is the problem with the show, that when you get, like, a cool premise, you've only got 10 minutes to get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was a genuinely interesting episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, this episode, it's like, neat little idea of shit they're doing that it feels like a season 3 episode of wandering around in space.
And I'm interested to see them doing more, like, weird season 3 stuff.
Yeah.
As we get into the show's actual season 3.
Are we going to have the
Gambler?
How
many seasons... How many episodes do we have left here?
Two.
Okay.
And then we got the finale. Oh,
more than that.
So it's coming. Oh, Lord. It's coming.
That's right. And then it's back to the Rescue Bots Academy.
Yay!
And then we'll be on season 3, where that thing that makes me so mad happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, have we figured out what we're doing between seasons?
We have not yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I think there's a list somewhere.
It'll be something new and exciting.
Ooh.
Or possibly something very old and exciting.
Also that.
Well, something exciting. I don't know, man. I'm just rewatching She-Ra and the Princesses of Power right now.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of exciting, and this month's Patreon, which... We were going to do, well, I wanted to do Superman since it's my birth month, but the Mighty Orbots Kickstarter finished, and it turns out it got funded. I'm honestly surprised and happy about that, which is why we're doing another Mighty Orbots episode, which we did like 300 episodes ago or something. It was a while ago.
It was a while back. Yeah, it was before the DVDs even came out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, apparently, like, the guy who had organized the Kickstarter passed away. And that brought a lot of attention to it. And I was like, maybe he faked his death to get his Kickstarter to fund. I would do that.
That was my first thought, too. But no, that isn't
what
happened.
It was never my serious thought.
It was just like
that would be funny.
It was like my second thought. It was like, unfortunate timing. But yeah, it got funded. It's happening. None of us bought it.
His dream will be a reality. Yeah, that's like Leo Kaiser money.
I am so glad it is happening. It's not for me.
Yes.
Despite me loving Mighty Orbots.
Like all the Transformers HasLabs that I don't get, I am happy they exist, even though it's not something that I need.
Yeah.
All right, and of course we'll be back with more Cyberverse next week, and check out our Patreon, of course. We will be orbotting it up there. And for just a dollar, you can get access to not only that, but also all of our previous episodes.
Yes, lots of stuff. Lots of fun stuff. Various Marvel movies, various random things that tie in with Marvel movies. Various weird stuff that we think would be fun to watch. Occasionally Micronauts for Christmas. It's my Christmas
present.
That's
right.
So I think actually, aren't we doing something Wonder Man related?
That's right. We are doing an episode of one of my favorite Marvel cartoons, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
An actual good Avengers cartoon, unlike the last time you made us watch an Avengers cartoon.
And also unlike the last time I made you watch a Marvel cartoon.
Yes! It's clobbering time!
Is it the one where the opening has, like, giant Hydra skull bots or something?
That's the one. And, like, a sort of, like, weird, like, emo new metal theme song, which isn't great, but...
I remember not liking the opening, but I never saw that many episodes.
Oh, yeah, this episode, it's got what you want. It's got Wonder Man. It's got MODOK. It's got,
Who's voicing MODOK?
I can't remember who voices MODOK, but it has a character who may or may not be a reference to Transformers Animated.
Ooh.
You'll have to watch to find out.
I will watch.
Well, we have to watch so we can talk about it.
That's right. But until then, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
Okay. No, I'm good. I thought I just had to change my microphone settings at the last minute.
Okay, so we're all started. Good.
But they are correct. We are good.
Okay. We'll start now.
Oh, shoot.
1, 2, 3, go.
Sorry.
All right, I'm starting right now.
I'll fix it in post.
You can sync it up with you saying that extra 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
I got a big fat cat on me. He's causing problems.
All right, hello and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberburst podcast.